The Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly.
Broadcasting live from the Toyota Studios.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station.
Oh, man. Radio?
Yes, talk radio.
So boring, man.
Okay.
Streaming live from
HitThatLine.com.
I got that wood.
This.
Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Is.
Smile.
The Morning Rush.
Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Y'all remember me. Y'all remember me.
With John Neighbors.
I refuse to wear pants.
Tommy Kraft.
Tavita, Tuolaka Ogno, Tuolapa Opano, Mosesetamo, Bahi Oho, Bihokeo, Balai Tutuo. I think I nailed it.
And Nick Mason.
I'm going to invite all my closest friends to play golf, and Tommy Kraft, John Neighbors are not part of that group.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
And welcome into the Morning Rush on this beautiful Tuesday morning. Appreciate everybody listening in today. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason in studio with you. And thank you, as always, for making us a part of your morning this morning. Tyler Wilson will be joining us here in just a little bit. We're going to play a riveting round of Would You Rather on this Tuesday, just like we have been in the previous weeks. And we're also going to be joined by John Price of SportsInformationTraders.com around 7:35 this morning, because there's a pretty big ruling that happened yesterday, and that's exactly where we are going to open up the show. Guys, you ready to start gambling on some sports?
I think I'm not, but I think a lot of people that already do it are excited about this.
Yes. And it came out yesterday pretty much right when we ended the show, so we didn't get an opportunity to talk about it. But you talk about a ruling that's going to have a major impact on sports as we know it. Now, to reiterate and to just get everybody clued in case you missed the ruling or don't fully understand it, this is not just a blanket thing where all of a sudden it's legal in every state and everybody's just going to start popping up casinos with sites and kiosks for sports gambling. It's not like that. What it was is that the federal government put a ban, and they ruled 7-2 that the PAPSFA ruling back in 1992, which was the Protection of Amateur and Professional Sports Act, basically saying that you could not gamble on sports, has been taken away. It's no longer there. They're leaving the decisions up to the states to decide if they want to legalize sports gambling, which I'm sure that there are a few states in mind that would love to do so. Now, of course, Nevada and Las Vegas, they had the exception to this ruling, but now you're going to start seeing states like New Jersey and Mississippi and various others start popping up and trying to get involved with sports gambling. It's amazing how a ruling like this, which has taken a few years to finally get some type of decision made on it, and it's a huge victory for those who love to gamble, but it's also going to have a huge impact on the sports itself.
Well, I think it'll have the biggest impact on the what's already gone on, the illegal gambling that has went on in the corner of the bar, the corner of the of so many places. And I can't even tell you the corner of what, because I don't do that kind of thing. But there's plenty of people that do, and I'm fine with that, because I'm against legislating a lot of morality. And for most people, gambling is a moral issue. And that's why it's been illegal for as long as any of us can remember, because a lot of people consider most forms of gambling immoral, is why it's been illegal in a lot of places, other than Nevada, other than New Jersey, where they have, and we've seen over our lifetimes the loosening of the stance on this with lotteries that have come into state. Now more casinos that have popped up. Arkansas pretty much has kept a pretty staunch stance on, we haven't expanded the casinos. We've allowed Oakland to do some additional things over in West Memphis. But we've seen a wider spread of more gaming across the country. And it will be interesting to see how this ruling filters into that. I think your point's exactly right, and people need to know. This doesn't mean overnight, all of a sudden, there are sports books and all of these Indian casinos and Tunica and all these places across the country, because it's still illegal in Arkansas. It's still illegal in Oklahoma. It's still illegal in Missouri. These states individually will have to pass some kind of law, constitutional amendment, some kind of legalization to add that to the rights of their citizens.
It's just not a federal deal, and
but,
I think that's the
biggest ordeal of it all. But what it does by legalizing this is there's a bookie in every community. There's someone that will take your action if you want to bet on the game. If you wanted to bet last night on game one, there is someone out there. If you'll seek them out, you can find them. And you want to put 50 bucks on it, 100 bucks, they'll take your action. That's the kind of thing that I think ultimately is going to be the big loser in all this whenever it's up and running in most places.
Well, I still think there are going to be a couple of reasons why that the bookie on the black market is still going to be in business. One of those being, I still don't have to leave my house to place a bet with that bookie. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure now. Is this going to be
I'm not sure you're
going
to have to leave your house.
Right.
I mean, you don't have to leave your house to place a bet on a horse race in Arkansas.
Yes, correct. But if I'm trying to bet on game one, am I going to be able to go on CherokeeCasino.com? Am I going to be able to go online and do these things? Am I going to have to go to the actual casino? And then a big thing that a lot of people don't know, that is when you're dealing with a black market bookie, they float you your bets. Meaning, whenever you go to Cherokee Casino and you're playing Blackjack Tommy, or
you got to put the money down to make
you
the bet.
Have to actually have $100 in your pocket to cash in for chips and put that in the circle to make the bet. It ain't none of this, oh, Kraft, I know you're good for it. I'll allow you to bet $100 right now, even though.
But you know I'm good for it, right?
You don't have to. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're good for it.
For sure,
right.
For sure. But, and that's one thing that the bookies now, the bookies on the black market, that's what you want to call it, that's one thing that they allow you to do at this point. They will, and not only will they float your bet, but so let's say that you're my bookie and we're betting, or I'm betting with you, and then I just say, hey, like, I'm not paying you this Friday. Like, I don't have it right now. This isn't a case where people come and break your legs if you don't pay them on Friday, because they know they come and try to break your legs, you're not going to pay them the next Friday or the next Friday. So there's a lot more convenience in having your, once again, black market bookie versus going down to the casino and actually having to have the hard cash in your hand.
Yeah,
I think it's going to have an implication with mobile apps, for instance. I think that there will be a lot of cases where people will be able to bet that way. I think proximity betting will also be a big thing, too, where basically if you want to bet on a sporting event or special events or whatever it may be, you may have to actually be in the vicinity of the venue,
now,
which I think is a fantastic idea.
I think it'll be just the opposite.
If they start doing like that, though, then if there is something to where I can go to the concession stand at Bud Walton Arena, and Bud Walton, it may not be, but like, and I can go to the concession stand and they have a kiosk that I can walk past and I can just swipe my credit card and go second half, I want to bet $100 on the Razorbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's going to make a killing because, once again, everything comes down to convenience.
That's right.
And a lot of these apps, if you guys are familiar with Bovado, a lot of these apps to log in and to register your credit card, then to have to scroll down and click and to get on your phone, it's not very convenient. Now, a lot of people do it because that's the only access that you have, but it's not very convenient. If you're telling me I can go get a hot dog and while I'm standing in that line, there's a kiosk right there at some point. Now,
we're eons away from that.
Yes,
we are galaxies away from that.
But that's the beauty in Las Vegas, is that I can be checking out and the line can be kind of long, and I can just say, oh, well, I'm just going to put this 20 in the slot.
How many people have lost all their winnings or lost the rest of their money in the airport at Vegas on the way out of town? Is Vegas the other big loser on this?
I think maybe
the biggest loser?
Small scale, but I think a little bit, yeah.
But I think it's so small scale because even right now, Tommy, if I want to make a bet, I don't have to go to Las Vegas. None of us do.
Nobody
has to go to Las Vegas.
Try getting a hotel room at a decent place Super Bowl weekend. Try getting reservations the first weekend of March Madness. Try any big sports weekend, the place is packed. The town is packed. Why? Because people flock to Vegas in the tens of thousands for what? Because the TVs are better out there?
No. But it has a lot more to do with the atmosphere and what all is going on, and that's tradition.
Because
a lot
there's
more
windows that will take their action, is why.
Correct. But I guarantee you 80% of those people could bet wherever they're coming from, too. If you're going all the way to Las Vegas to bet, you have a bookie back at home, too. You have a casino.
See, I would love to go also out to Vegas for the first 3 or 4 days of the NCAA tournament. And you're right, part of it's the atmosphere. Part of it would be the fun of playing the games. But I don't have a – I don't do that. I just think there's a lot of people that would like to bet $25 on a game for fun, to make it interesting. But they're not going to go do something illegal. They run businesses. They own businesses. They're a deacon at the church. They're not going to go do something that might get them caught up in some kind of gambling ring that could get their name on a list that could get them arrested someday.
But –
they're just not going to – it's not –
how many of those people – how many of those people, though, are taking a trip to Las Vegas to do those things? I just don't
think
that
there is a – a lot
of them. There is a – yeah, and which – and there may be. I just think if you're going to book a trip to go to Las Vegas to gamble, you do some form of gambling back in your hometown.
I don't. And, I go to Vegas once every year or two now, but used to go once a year, you know. And I know – groups of people that go every year for the Super Bowl or every year for March Madness because they like the atmosphere, but right, they want to be there, you know, to have some action on some of the biggest sporting events. That's a great place to go watch big sporting events. Now you don't have to go just exclusively to Vegas to do that. So, you know, the stock market reacted yesterday as these rulings came out, and I was kind of I was at the gym and just watching. You know, that they were obviously, this was one of the big conversations across a lot of platforms, and the stock, you know, channel was on one of the TVs there, and all of the Vegas casinos, you know, that are publicly traded were all down 6-7%. And guess what? All the ones that were not in Vegas, like Churchill and all these other places where you can wager out, were all up. So, I mean, the markets reacted accordingly yesterday.
Yeah.
At least during the day. I don't know how they closed. But
the biggest loser, though, are the offshore accounts.
Oh, well, yeah.
Offshore websites. Those are – those people in the next couple of years will be bankrupt.
Yeah, they won't even exist.
Yeah, no. And those are the biggest losers of all time.
There's so many layers to this.
Oh, man.
So many things we can get into.
Yeah, and we're going to try to peel them back as best as we can, because I do want to get back into the convenience thing that you were talking about, Nick. And the impact it'll have on that. On this Toyota Tuesday, make sure to check out all new 2018 vehicles at your local Arkansas Toyota dealer, including the Highlander with plenty of room up to 8 people. You can also do the stylish new Corolla. Check out the work-ready, family-tough Tundra and the go-anywhere 4Runner. Toyota, let's go places.
Call into John and Tommy and get your voice heard. 877-377-6963. This is The Morning Rush.
Welcome back into The Morning Rush, and I appreciate everybody listening in today on this Toyota Tuesday, where you can check out all 2018 vehicles at your local Arkansas Toyota dealer. You can check out the work-ready family tough Tundra, stylish new Corolla. You can also check out the go-anywhere 4Runner, as well as the Highlander with plenty of room up to 8 people. Toyota, let's go places. Sports betting and its convenience. I think this is important, too. That's something that we discussed where, again, we're talking about way down the road. But I hold the theory that if it was made to where a lot, not just at a place like Arkansas, but at really any venue, college football, NFL, NBA, whatever it may be, that if you had a convenience of, say, kiosk there at the stadium or at the arena, where people could just show up, walk up to while they're going to the bathroom or going to the concession stands or whatever, maybe even have them outside of the stadiums for tailgaters and whatnot, to where they can have an easy access to go up and bet on games, would dramatically improve now, attendance at games.
Are you suggesting that would be the only place you could do it, or this would just be in addition to this would, it wouldn't be exclusive to
no,
only the venue.
It wouldn't be exclusive, but there would obviously maybe they would throw in some incentives like if you did it there.
Like it wasn't too many years ago, pretty much the only place you could bet on Oakland was at Oakland. You know, or another track at, you know, you were at another track, but you had to be at a basically at a horse track to bet on horse races.
Right.
Now it's a little different with the apps, but are you suggesting something like that?
Well, see, that's the thing is like,
I think that, if they did it that way, because obviously places would want to do it that way, or they because it's all about getting your cut. Well, it's all about finding ways to get your money.
Right.
But
that's
I don't think
that's
it'd
what
be
a, that's what pro sports are trying to figure out right now.
Right. And I don't think it'd be a good idea. I don't personally think it, but it wouldn't surprise me if they wanted to go that route.
I think it'd be a great idea. How many times, and this may not be a great question, how many times do you bet on Oakland when you're not at Oakland?
Me?
Yeah.
Not very often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but it's just, once
but
again.
But I got plenty of friends that do it. Mm-hmm. Every day of the meet.
Right. But there are a lot of people that if they're there and they're at the event, then
it makes a difference.
The question there are also people that will go to the event just to bet and watch it live.
That was the question. Is how does that make the event more enticing?
I think it does.
Yeah.
Far and away.
And now, I don't think that you increase your attendance by 5%. I don't even think you increase it by a couple of percent. But what you do is you no longer lose people. I do think that now that adds
another element of excitement.
Element, a different dynamic. And even if you're not the one that's betting, just to go out in the concourse or just to be outside of the stadium and see people going and talking to their buddy and saying, oh, I just did this, or trying to hurry up and run to the concourse at halftime, not to beat the people to go to the bathroom, not to beat the people to go to the concession stand, but to beat the people to get to the kiosk so you can hurry up and bet on that halftime line before the game actually changes.
Yeah. Tyler, that might be one thing for an NFL or an NBA game, but you know, the NCAA has had such a long stance against gambling. I can't see that changing anytime soon where college sports is going to welcome anything like that into their venues.
Well, it furthers, you know, my argument for a while, and I think a lot of people's argument about amateur athletics. I think, you know, you can kind of justify, okay, well, these guys over here on the court, they're professionals and they're making millions of dollars. So, you know, we can bet and we can wager on this. But, oh, yeah, this guy's not making money and he's – you know, he goes to school, and so, you know, that's amateur, so we're not going to bet on sports. That's where we draw the line. But however, you open that can of worms where now you've got wagering going on amateur, quote-unquote amateur athletics. Now you're justifying, okay, why are we not paying these people? It's a topic that opens up another can of worms that they don't want to justify.
I think, though, that this gets them further away from paying athletes, though. And I don't think it brings them closer because there's such a stain and a black eye on gambling. Go ahead.
But what you're saying is, so I go to the game at Bud Walton Arena. I go to this ticket kiosk, and I lay down, let's just say you lay down $500,
right.
Okay? And I walk away, and I walk away with $2,000 or $3,000 following the game.
Right.
And the kids on the court, how are we getting further away from paying those guys?
Right. So now, first off, I think Jesus or whoever you believe in is going to come back and get everybody prior to us having a kiosk on a college campus. Now, to be specific, I think the kiosk idea is more of professionals.
Right.
There's no way that college campuses are to allow kiosks anywhere. They won't even allow it across the street at like the Chick-fil-A across the street from
Chick-fil-A
ain't
gonna allow it either.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But why,
University
again, but again, why
of
are
Arkansas.
They not, why won't they allow it? They won't allow it because it threatens the model, which is this is amateur athletics, and you implement that model, you can't justify not playing the players.
Well, you've spent half a century, you know, educating and preaching a message of anti-gambling, anti-gambling, integrity of the game, that our games aren't going to be affected by, you know, all of these different messages and marketing strategies and sermons you've preached about gambling is bad.
Right.
Now how does the NCAA embrace that? I guess profits will make anybody change their opinion on stuff, but I'm with you, Nick. I think, first of all, the NCAA can't make a sweeping law that makes it legal in all 50 states. Number one, the NCAA can't even get someone to testify in their own investigations legally.
Yeah.
So how are they going to ever – I mean, they're nowhere near equipped for this. And two, this ruling yesterday morning comes back to a state's issue.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, I mean, it's going to be hard to say you can do this when it's not legal in Arkansas, but it's going to be legal in Mississippi in a matter of months.
Right.
I mean, they pretty much passed the law there, or, you know, where it's going to be legal in Tunica and Biloxi. Yeah.
Well, it's, I mean, similar to the marijuana thing. Like, well, you know, exactly. Where it's legal in some
states.
But
the difference is marijuana is still federally illegal.
Right. You know? Yeah, but then in some states it isn't. So it's just like...
Well, it's still illegal by federal law in every state.
Right. And so, but you have this, you have a situation now with this, with gambling, and I like how, you know, you brought up with amateur athletics and all that. That's really what a lot of these leagues and people are concerned about, is the quote-unquote integrity of the game. When it comes to, all right, we're going to start having players now who are on these teams. Are they going to start placing bets on themselves? Are they going to start betting against us? Are they going to start throwing games? I mean, how are they going to police this? When the question is like, well, it's, again, you could have done it before. You could have had bets on it before.
Yes.
It's not going to, it shouldn't. I mean, I'm not saying it won't, but it shouldn't have that much of an impact as far as integrity of the games go.
If you're going back to the marijuana analogy, everybody knows that there are tons of people that smoke marijuana, even though it
there
is.
There are?
It is illegal in a bunch of states, but you don't smoke it in front of a police officer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah. you don't drive up to Officer Breeden, roll down your window, and
blow a puff
show
right
him
in his face.
That
yeah.
you've been hotboxing for yeah. the last hour.
Right.
And it's the same thing.
What's that?
Yeah. It's the same thing with gambling. Yes, everybody knows that people have been doing it, but you don't want to do it right in the face of the NCAA. Now, even with marijuana in California is legal on the state level, but the federal government can still come kick mm-hmm. your door in.
Yeah.
And they can still arrest you, and they can still
They've just chosen not to.
Everything yeah. that you have, you know.
Yeah. The difference here is the federal government has said sports wagering is okay with the federal. It's not federally prohibited, this, but it's a state's issue.
That's right.
Still illegal in most states.
Yeah. And we'll see how it changes up. We got someone on the phone.
Yeah, Hawk Swap.
All right, yeah, Hog Swap, what's going on, man? You with us, Hog Swap?
Good morning, guys. I just wanted to call in and ask a couple questions. First of all, I called in about a couple of months ago and said that I thought the baseball team would have a very special year. And I guess they still could, but I see a lot of concerns I have with this team. One thing is it seems like the have a tendency to leave a lot of runners on base. Seems like they basically score all their runs through home runs. And that's kind of a concern to me through the college playoffs. And then another question I had, guys, is I'm not quite understanding the polls that I'm seeing on the team. It seems like, for instance, they get swept by like Mississippi State on the road, and they only drop like one or two spots in the polls. I mean, is this poll we're seeing, is it something that's released by Bo Matley and Rick Schaefer? I mean, I'm not quite understanding these polls that we're seeing.
I'm so lost on the question. Have you listened to the show at all today?
No, I have not.
Oh, okay.
I
haven't. Yeah, okay.
Goodbye.
Yeah. So, but, and back on, and that's the biggest thing, though, is because, and Tommy brought this up earlier, the NCAA, they asked Bruce Pearl to come testify on somebody that they took away in handcuffs. He said no. So, I mean, you have evidence that somebody's been cheating, and he said no. So that's why I think that they're going to stay so far away from this just because the NCAA cannot currently police all the cheating that is going on, and people are getting caught and saying, yeah, well, we cheated. And then it's like, okay, well, I'm going to go get your head coach to testify. And he says, no,
yeah.
I'm not going to do that. And then proceeds
they can't do anything
to have
about
a job
yeah.
for the rest of the year. So, yeah, I don't see the NCAA getting involved in this just because it's already difficult enough for them to police what's going on.
Tyler, I can't see Arkansas legalizing this in the next, what, 5, 10 years? It may be a generational change before we get there.
I told you my point, and I think we're all saying the same thing. It's not going to happen in intercollegiate athletics, and there's a reason why it won't happen. And
well, I just mean the vote of our
states
people.
In yeah. the conservative states yeah. like Arkansas, Alabama, yeah. which SEC football resides, mm-hmm. very conservative naturally. I probably not going to happen.
Well, if it gets legalized in the state of Arkansas, Tommy's leaving the radio biz. He's going to open up a casino. That's what I think he's going to do. That'd be a good business
hey,
adventure.
That'd yeah, be a political man. Fight. Like, you think the fight to get these cultivation centers and dispensaries
yes.
for marijuana has been ugly?
Yeah.
If they actually get to a point where they hand out some gaming license in this state, that'll really get political.
And I'm going to tell you right now, and hey, I think Tommy does very well for himself, but if he's working here, he does not have enough money.
I can guarantee you.
You can add up those bids.
You can add up all of ours and do some serious multiplication, and we wouldn't have
it would be far away from that.
You better have multiple commas.
That's right. 877-377-6963, everyone's favorite segment on the other side of the break.
This is Toyota Tuesday on the Morning Rush. Get by your local Toyota dealer for a test drive today. Toyota, let's go places.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
Follow the Morning Rush on Twitter at Morning Rush Show. This is the Morning Rush.
All right, it's time for everyone's favorite segment of the day, Three in the Lane with Nick Mason, presented by Razorback Camper Sales.
Now, your place for all your travel trailer, fifth wheel, and pop-up needs, including their 27-foot Salem travel trailer, fully decked out. Outside kitchen, slide-outs, power jacks, power awning, everything you need, $21,990 or $226 a month at Razorback Camper Sales. Family-owned, family-operated for over 49 years with no hassles, low-pressure buying experience. Stop in and see him, exit 1 off the bypass in Hot Springs, or anytime online at RazorbackCamperSales.com.
Is anyone up for a game of basketball?
Three in the Lane with Nick Mason.
Kids, don't text and drive. And now I got to say, kids, don't gamble and drive. Arkansas picked up a commitment from an in-state-ish kid.
Big guy, too.
6'10", 225, Ibrahim Ali. He came over. Ron Crawford actually found him and brought him over to Southwest a few years ago. Then his senior year, he transferred to Maumelle. Then last year, if I'm reading this correctly, he set out of basketball for a complete year and just worked on his basketball game and worked out. And now he supposedly had offers from Georgetown, Syracuse, Baylor, Arkansas.
That's a little unconventional.
Well. Yeah. Yes, it definitely is. And I was actually talking to Dudley Dawson last night, and I was like, hey, do you know anything about this? And, you know, he shared with me everything that I just shared that's out on the web right now. And I said, well, I have one question. If he set out of basketball all of last year, then how did anybody see him play to offer him? Because I promise you, after he averaged, because in his height, in his senior year, he averaged 4 points and like 4 rebounds, or 5 points and 4 rebounds at Maumelle, and Maumelle was pretty good. But if that's what he averaged in his senior year, these schools didn't come calling for that kid. So did he go to these campuses and work out, or did they come and see him in person and he worked out? Or how are these guys?
How they get on him again?
Yeah, right. And you know, and Dudley was like, "Yeah, well, that's a good question. I will find out and I'll write about it." And so I'm really
well. I mean, the reason you'd sit out and not
for that
play,
article and that answer.
I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind when you say he set out and didn't play is because
he didn't have the offers he wanted,
but you didn't want him to see the product because it wasn't good enough to get the high offers you're wanting.
Right. And now...
Now, I may be wrong about it, but that's the thought that comes to mind.
No. That thought is definitely right.
Why else would you not play?
I saw him his senior year. There's two lines of thinking on this. And I'm just going off of if he hasn't improved and he's the same kid that I saw his senior year. You can't go into a season having only one center and one true big on your basketball team, you're not going to make it because of two reasons. One, Daniel Gafford, he needs a guy to practice against, because the first time that Daniel Gafford sees a guy that's 6'10", 225, you don't want that to be 14 games in and in conference play and Daniel's trying to adjust. That's one line of thinking. And then the other thing, if anything were to happen to Daniel Gafford, or if he gets into foul trouble or any of those things, once again, right now on Arkansas's roster, they have Gabe Osaboyan.
Mm-hmm.
He's about 6'8 and a half, very skinny, but he is more of a stretch four. They have Reggie Chaney. He's about 6'7". You know, a thicker kid, but still about 6'7". And Ethan Henderson, he's 6'7" as well. So none of those three guys, and Adriel Bailey, he's about 6'6". None of those guys are playing the center position, especially if you put a 6'6 at center and then you have another 6'6 at power forward. So this dude's
6'10".
Right. So this is a guy that they had to get a bigger body. They had to. Regardless of if the kid can walk and chew bubble gum, they had to get a bigger body for the two reasons that I just stated. Now, for Razorback fans, though, don't expect this guy to come in and give you any more. So Trey Thompson last year is a lot. There's not enough minutes in this segment for me to put in a lot better than what this kid is going to be next year. He's only been playing basketball for a couple of years, and once again, he didn't play basketball for an entire year. So he's for sure a project, but you had to sign him because you had to sign another big, because at this point you only have one, and that's Daniel Gafford, and there's no way that you're going to have success with only having one big.
But he has great upside, I'm sure, right? I mean, that's because that's kind of what you always hear. Hey, you can't coach 6'10", Nick.
No, I mean, no. Hey, listen. And
but that's my point, though.
And that's true, because how many 6'10 guys has Arkansas signed in the last 8 years? Four? Five?
Hasn't been many, no.
Bobby?
Moses.
And Moses ain't 6'10", but if you want to throw him in there. But Bobby, Daniel Gafford, Hunter Mickelson.
About it.
So, it's not a ton of 6'10 guys. And whenever conference play comes around, what do you normally say about Mike Anderson team? You don't really say, you need another Jalen Barford. You need another guy that's going to shoot threes. You need this. Normally, you end up saying, man, if we had a point guard or if there was another big that can move. Now, this kid can move. He does move better than Trey does. But he's not better at this point in his career. He's not better than Trey Thompson, Dustin Thomas, or Orlando Cook was last year. This kid will not be better than any one of those guys were last year.
They've signed a practice player as well.
Yeah, well, so I think, but it's much needed because
they need height.
You have to have some size, and you can't let Daniel Gafford all throughout the offseason pick on Ethan Henderson and Reggie Chaney, because like if those guys are guarding him throughout the offseason, he's not going to get much better as an individual player. So, hey, we'll see. I don't expect a lot out of him in the games, but I think it's like a Willie Cauley, a practice player, and a guy that's big. And then, too, you have an open scholarship left, so you don't want to take that into the season.
Can't hurt the team to have him. Now, I don't know how many minutes. It doesn't sound like he'll be a featured player by any stretch. But
have you guys ever heard of a push?
Yes.
Yeah, where it doesn't hurt you, doesn't help you, just kind of a push. Well, yeah. This is a push.
Would you rather on the other side of the break? Stay with us.
This is the Morning Rush.
Clint Sterner here on behalf of Ordinary.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
Razorback videos, articles, and podcasts. Find them all at hitthatline.com. This is the Morning Rush.
All right, welcome back into the Morning Rush. Appreciate everybody listening in today. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, and Nick Mason in studio with you. We spent a good, hour and a half of the first part of the show discussing about the new ruling from the United States government and saying that states will now have the decision on whether or not they want sports gambling to be allowed. It's no longer a federal blanket that has been put over the entire nation. And so it's definitely been changing the way that people are going to be looking at sports and talking about sports. And it's definitely something that is a piquing of interest for a lot of different people. And we're going to continue to talk about that as we welcome in John Price of SportsInformationTraders.com, friend of the show. John, appreciate you joining us. How you doing, man?
Oh, it's great. You know, it's technically the off season because we're not talking about football or college basketball, but the off season has become the season because of yesterday's ruling. And as you're about to see, anywhere from 2 weeks from now to 4 months from now when football gets going, you're going to see certain states move quickly to get this thing pushed through on a state side so they can begin taking wagers, and then you'll see other states kind of hold their ground. And it should be very interesting to see how this all plays out. But very exciting. The business in general is going to explode over the next couple of years. And, you know, there's good and there's bad to it if you're an everyday player. Most of the people, I think, are just going to start wagering on their own, which could set them back a bit. But the freedom and the ability to do that without risking breaking a law is going to change things greatly. And my only hope is that it doesn't change sports, because the reality is that when somebody's standing at the free throw line and they know the point spread, you know, you got to cover yourself there. And I'll get into that as well. I do believe there will be a way that athletes will be covered in a sense in terms of integrity that will prevent, you know, people from throwing games or allowing goals to go in or that type of thing. Mm-hmm. Overall, tremendous, tremendous news. Very good.
John, walk us through that landscape you brought up a moment ago. Obviously, New Jersey is going to be the first because they're the one that brought the suit that got this ruling overturned. There's going to be other states like Mississippi. Kind of walk us through that landscape, A, and then B, how does this affect Las Vegas?
Well, there's a bit of a little bit of a hit where Las Vegas is concerned, because obviously Vegas was a place where people knew they could go to get this done. You know, there's so many people that wager around America right now. They use online wagering accounts that are based outside the United States. So Canada, UK, Costa Rica, there's a lot of accounts that are outside the United States. So the reality is that wagering has been happening within the United States in terms of people living there, but the actual facilitation of the wagering has been going on outside the United States. So this just opens the door to more of that. I don't think you'll see a huge hit in Las Vegas. I do believe that, you know, it'll be a little more costly to wager online. And there's, you know, there's terminology that comes with wagering. When you place a wager to, say, win $100, you're typically risking $110 to win $100. They call that juice or bitch. You'll probably see that higher in the online accessible wagering accounts versus actually going and standing in line at a casino and doing it. In terms of the chronological order of this, what the ruling yesterday uncovers the national blanket. It basically says, look, this is something that can help us. It's not unlawful, and I believe it can. I believe in terms of taxes and funding for states, they're going to get a piece of this. I think that athletes themselves are going to get a piece of this in terms of framing it as an integrity fee, which is what I was just referencing to you. I even think that colleges and universities will be able to take advantage of something like this. More money is going to come in on this. But now it's a state-by-state decision. And when you look at a state like California, which is massive, California right now is leaning towards passing a bill, and that could be one of the bigger states. New York, the neighbor to New Jersey, look for them to be a big state that decides to get in on this. Now, when I look at other states, for example, oh, I don't know, Arkansas. What do you know? Mm-hmm. That, see, now there's a holding pattern there, and I think you kind of have to look at what's real about the state of Arkansas. What rules in sports in the state of Arkansas? It's the University of Arkansas. When you go around the country and you talk about Arkansas, they talk about Arkansas football. That's what it's all about. All over the country, Arkansas football, University of Arkansas. So now is where you walk the sticky line in all of this, because you know that college athletes cannot get paid. So who is going to make the money that comes in from the wagering if you're in a state that highlights college athletics? And so I think a state like Arkansas, where, you know, a state, California, they've got, you know, a million pro teams in every sport. New York's got a bunch of pro teams, two of them in every major sport. You get to a college state like Arkansas, and I think right now there's a holding pattern there. At this point, you know, up until now, there has been no real push for legal wagering in Arkansas. I would put them below the 50% mark in terms of really wanting this to happen. But I think that the higher-ups in the state are actually going to have a conversation with the University of Arkansas and determine what's in its best interest. Is it better to open that door, or is it better to keep it closed? And you'll see between now and this fall, a number of states pass to wager. And I think by next fall, by the fall of 2019, you can bookmark that point. That's where you're inevitably going to see the states that have conformed to this and decided that legal wagering is the way to go, and it's going to fund their states and so forth. Decent impact between now and September. Large, large impact between now and September of 2019.
John Price of SportsInformationTraders.com is our guest right now on the show. John, the one thing that I've seen a lot of these leagues do, like the NFL and the NBA and MLB and all that, come out and say, talking about integrity. They want to just keep the integrity of the game and all that. When I see that, I understand what they're saying. At the same time, what's changed as far as that goes? I don't feel like this is going to have any impact on the integrity of any games. Do you see that having any type of impact?
I doubt it. But if you recall, his name escapes me right now. There was a referee in the NBA
Donaghy.
Who admitted to... Right. Okay. So listen, it's... Do I really believe that Steph Curry is going to step to the free throw line knowing that the Golden State Warriors were minus 12 and it's an 11-point game and purposely brick one off the back of the rim so that the game ends at 11? No, I don't think that's going to be the case. But you also have to remember there's a couple of things in play. I'm pulling away from the college athlete here because for me, that's the only thing that if I'm looking at all of this, I feel like it's Christmas Day for the wagering industry. And it more or less uncovers something that I think in the end is going to benefit a lot of different entities. The college athlete's not getting paid. So that's really the sticky point there. But with regards to pros, most professional athletes are well paid. And they're not really, thinking about how they can make an extra 20 grand or 30 grand. I think that when this does pass in certain states, I do believe that there will be a piece of the pie that goes to the athletes labeled as an integrity fee just to protect that end of it. Because we know from Tim Donaghy that on any given day, somebody can just snap and say, you know what, I can affect the outcome of these games, and I'm going to do it. And maybe in his case, we found out about it a little bit later, but now I think what's going to happen is more people than ever are going to be aware of point spreads. I mean, right now, the Super Bowl is the most watched sporting event in the world, and I would say that probably 60% of the people watching know the point spreads, and 40% are just people who maybe don't even like football, but they decided that they're going to somebody's house to watch it. I think next year, 80% or 85% will know the point spread. I think the national championship games in college football, I think all the NCAA tournament stuff, I think you're going to see 200% more people across this country aware of point spreads, and that even includes the athlete. I don't even know if Steph Curry knows what the point spreads are for the Golden State games. They're normally double digits because of how good they are. But athletes will probably check it out now just to kind of be intrigued. And so the opponents to legal gambling, the opponents, the ones who are putting up their hands saying, I don't care what you're doing nationally, we're not doing it with our state. That's one of their big concerns, is that sports won't be true anymore. And there'll be shiftiness. There'll be referees that have agendas. There'll be maybe smaller players within a game that have an impact that might do something different. And that's really the concern on that front, is what happens there and what happens to the college athletics. Mm-hmm. And the fact that these, players are going to universities for 3 and 4 years and making the schools millions and millions and millions of dollars, and now the schools could be getting more of a cut from gambling sales, and still the player is left standing in line for, you know, their school lunch. So there are things that still need to be ironed out to make people happy. But what this does is it allows every state to determine for itself whether that's what it wants. And I applaud that. Instead of just throwing a big blanket on the whole country and saying this is not supposed to happen, now you will see other states follow Nevada, Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey in 2 weeks. They'll start taking wagers. Little by little, it will grow. Look for the NBA to be the first team, I'm sorry, the first league where you can actually wager in an arena. I truly believe that's going to happen, but it's got to happen in a state that has legalized gambling. Okay, so for example, if California decides that they're going to move forward and do this in the next 6 months, I believe that within a year's time, you'll be able to walk into a Golden State game or a Sacramento Kings game or a Clippers or a Lakers game, and right there in the arena, there will be a machine where you can wager on the first half, the second half, the whole game, the total. I think it's going to happen. I think the NBA is the most eager to make this happen, and I think the NFL is the least eager. The NFL has the biggest ego in all of sports. They believe that if you took the NFL away, that the whole sports landscape would split and crumble. So they're going to hold out for as much as they can get. The NBA, I'm telling you right now, they're first in line to make something happen. And I do think that within a year, we will see something like that, but only in the states that legalize it for themselves.
John Price of SportsInformationTraders.com. Great stuff, John. Really appreciate you joining us. I'm sure we'll be catching up with you once football season starts up, my man.
Absolutely. Good to talk to you. Everybody have a great day in Arkansas. It's a good day.
Yeah. Thanks.
Enjoy it.
Yeah, appreciate it, John. Yeah, fascinating stuff. And we're going to close up shop, get to some storylines here on the other side of the break. This is The Morning Rush.
The most.
You've been listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly. And thanks for downloading the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.